Praise the Lord. I was wondering who was going to bring what. I think Sister Carolyn's going to bring the chip. Chips, I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. I've been picking on her all night. I'm sorry. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I tell you, I sometimes I get confused with people. I was talking to Sister Clark the other night. I said, you know, a lot of older folks, not that she's older, just happen to be talking to her about other older folks that are older, not her, of course. And I said, you know, they work all their lives. They save and scrimp. They drive cars with 300,000 miles on them. Some of them even drive Subarus. You know, it's almost walking, you know. And when they get old, Brother Michael, they won't spend a dime. They take it all their grave. They hoard it up. Then they die. And their kids spend it in a few weeks or blow it or stick it up their nose or in their arm. Some of them do the right thing with it. And, you know, sometimes it bothers me. I tell you, my kids is waiting on my inheritance. When I get about 50, if I figure I got 15 more years left, I'm going to count it up and just split it up every year and spend it all. And then they make their own. Because, you know, I put in all that work. And we come to church. We stay saved all week. We try to pray and read our Bible every day. And we come to church and we've got a pocket full of spiritual money and the Spirit of God comes in and nobody wants to write the check. Amen. If you put the time in to praise the Lord when they got to sing and we may have missed it. You may have to listen to me preach now, but when they come in singing, when I think about the Lord and how He saved me and how He touched me and healed me, you know, that gets me excited. I've been thinking about that all week when I was praying. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Amen. When I think about the Lord and how He saved me and what He done for me, I get a little bit excited about it, and I don't mind to worship for a while. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. Well, I don't know. I felt like really the Holy Ghost just swept in here. That's why we're here. Amen. I don't have to preach this message. I don't have to say nothing special. I ain't part of this. I'm just a little piece of the big wheel. Amen. But when God comes in, if you put in the time, if you've been praying and fasting and reading, you know what? When the Spirit of God gets to moving, don't be afraid to participate because you're worthy of it. Amen. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Lord. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. I don't know what to do here. I got this message, but I just feel like we may have missed our opportunity to praise the Lord. Amen. That's why we're here. Brother John, you stayed up all night working. You said, well, I'm going to church anyway. And you showed up. And I couldn't get you to take a nap today. And you're here tonight. Amen. You know what? You made a sacrifice. You're already here. You might as well go ahead and take your paycheck. Hallelujah. Woo! This is why we come to church. We come to church to worship God. This is why we come to church. Because when our souls are dry, we come to get filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Woo! Glory. Well, hallelujah. There are many things I'd like to be as my journey I pursue. I would long to be a leader like a mortal man would do. I would like to be a millionaire with a million to bestow. But I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Well, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything. Well, hallelujah. Well, with the Christian's love to show. Well, I'm walking in a grand old highway, telling everywhere I go. Well, I'd rather be an old-time Christian
than anything I know.
Well, now all the world is bright since I got right. Now I sing and pray and shout. All my burdens have been lifted since my Savior brought me out. I will tell the world both far and near as I travel here below. But I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know.
Well, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. Walking in the grand old highway, telling everywhere I go.
I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Well, there are many things I'd like to be as my journey I pursue. I would long to be a leader like a mortal man would do. I would like to be a millionaire with a million to bestow, but I'd rather be an old Christian. Well,
old-time Christian.
Christian. The Christian love to show.
Well, I'm walking in the Grand Ole Highway, telling everywhere I go.
Well, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know.
Oh, let's just worship him for a minute. Let's just do what the Lord will have us to do. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. You know I'm walking in the Grand Ole Highway.
Well, I'm telling everyone I go.
My friend, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know.
There are many things I'd like to be as my journey I pursue.
Yeah.
I would long to be like an old man would do.
Yeah.
I would like to be a millionaire with a million to bestow.
Oh, but I'd rather be an old-time Christian
than anything I know.
Well, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything
Hallelujah.
I know. Nothing like an old-time Christian
with a Christian love to show.
You know
well,
I'm walking in the Grand Ole Highway,
telling everywhere I go.
Oh, well, I'd rather be an old-time Christian
than anything I know.
I like this verse. All the world is bright since I got right now. Sing and pray and shout.
That's it.
My burdens have been lifted since my Savior brought me out. Yeah. I will tell the world both far and near I'm a travel. Hear me go. Well, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Sing it one more time.
I'd rather be an old-time Christian
than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian
with a Christian love.
Oh, I've been walking in the Grand Ole Highway, telling everywhere I go. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know.
That's more like it, amen. That's more like it. That's why we're here. You say, Brother Nathan, do we have to shout every night? No. But I'll tell you what we do have to do every night. We have to come expecting and believing and ready to receive from God. Hallelujah.
Whoa. Oh, thank you. Thank
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Well, I guess I'm going to preach a little while, but I tell you, I'm feeling good. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Y'all give me about 15 minutes and I'll get out of the way. And when you hear what I'm preaching, you're going to say, what in the world was he worshiping about? But this is what I feel like the Lord wants me to preach. So good thing is I'm not real good. Well, that's the bad thing. But the good thing is I'm not real long-winded. So that's a good thing. Amen. Kind of goes along a little bit with what we was talking about this morning. I'm going to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 18. Again, I will not be very long. I normally am not. We got to make sure Sister Carolyn can get to the store and get them chipped. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. When you come to church, you can be happy. I believe that. I don't want to make a, praise the Lord. I done got my scripture wrong here. Sorry about that. Maybe I should have kept on singing. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Matthew 8:18-1. Sorry about that. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest? Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, This is you, service. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. He just brought the kid in and said, Hey, just sit right here. He said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter to the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. This is where I want to preach from. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, talking about kids who already know about God. I never noticed that. It would better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he was drowned into the depth of the sea. I want to preach. You can be seated. I'm not going to be very long. I'm going to tell a few stories here. I've been trying to get away from this for weeks. I knew Brother Bobby was going to ask me to preach tonight. I could have told him because the Lord put this on my heart, and it's a different direction. But I just felt like the Lord would have me to say this, and please just bear with me to the end. Don't get offended with me. I'm not shooting at anybody. I'm not taking any shots. I just want this, what I feel like the Lord wants me to preach. It's too late now. That's what I want to preach about. There was a man in my brother-in-law's church. I believe his name was Ricky. And he had a couple of pit bulls, and he had them in an enclosed fence. Amen. And those dogs were friendly. And those beasts, as I would say, those dogs were friendly. And this little neighbor boy would play with these dogs. And they were just great friends. They just spent a lot of time together. And these people left and went on vacation. Ricky, they were Ricky's dog. He left. He went on vacation. And while he was gone, that boy jumped that fence to get a football or play with the dog. Who knows? And those dogs turned on him and they killed that little boy, and they about ate him. And Ricky's life was turned upside down. He was sued in a civil lawsuit. He lost everything he had. He can no longer have a job because if he gets a job, they take on. I'm sorry, Brother John. Yes. They take that. They take his money. He has to work under the table. His life is over. Plus, he has that guilt of that little boy hanging over him. I'm sure if he could go back, he would change a lot of things. Maybe he wouldn't get the dogs. Maybe he would have pinned them up. Maybe he would have told a little boy to stay. You know what? It's too late now. That boy is in eternity, and Ricky's life is forever changed from what happened to that little boy. And I've thought about some of the things that we bring in our home that are so innocent to us, that are so normal to us, that are so everyday to us, amen. We take things in our home. You know, who in here doesn't have the internet in their home? I have the internet in my home. It's very common. Amen. But you know what? We give that to our children. I'm preaching youth service. I'm not going to be long. We give this to our kids, and our kids, they have this internet. But if we're not careful as parents, our children will have this internet off in their bedrooms by themselves, and they'll just be playing with something that's familiar and something that's friendly and something we order our clothes on. It's something that we order our food on. It's something we may order a car on. And suddenly out of that television may leap something that'll destroy them children. Amen. Oh, I'm talking about it's too late now. I'm talking to parents tonight. I'm talking to myself tonight. We've got to be careful. I know people that put their children to sleep with a cell phone. My God, we've got to be careful. There's stuff in that cell phone, yes, that can be innocent. Those dogs were friendly. That boy played with them dogs. But when their time come and he was alone with them dogs, they turned on him and they ate him. And let me tell you something. When you give your child a cell phone and you send them off by themselves, you might as well put them in a pen with a pit bull, because that phone will leap out and bite your children. Hallelujah. Oh, I hope y'all stay with me a little while. I'm not saying I don't have the internet. I'm not trying to preach a standard you can't. I'm just saying sometimes we forget where the devil's laying at. Hallelujah. Think about people. Amen. I don't want to get stuck on this. We don't understand. I bet if I got participation out of the young people in this church, and I'm not asking you to, don't raise your hand. But I guarantee you there's not a young person in this church over 16 years old that hasn't seen something they wish they hadn't seen on a cell phone or on a computer. We don't let our kids go out. We wouldn't let our kids go out with no shirt on in 20-degree weather, would we? We wouldn't let our kids go. Hopefully we'll let them go out at all. But we won't let our kids go, our 10-year-old kids. I won't let our kids go to the mall and run with strangers. We won't let our kids drive a car when they're 8 years old, will we? Well, my God, what do you think's more damaging to your children? Looking at some filth on a phone that they can never get out of their young mind that scars them forever? Or those other things I talked about? But we won't think nothing, brother, about giving a cell phone. Hallelujah. Oh, I just feel this on me. And I don't want to harp on it. This is not even where I want to preach. But I'm just telling you. There's a problem with that in America. Parents don't have their brains don't work. But like, oh, my kid, well, I'll never let my kid play football. They might get a concussion. I will let my kids go out and shoot basketball hoops in the driveway. Might twist their ankle. But they'll sit in front of a computer all day and play filthy video games, killing and murdering and slaughtering. My God, what's wrong with us? We got to wake up before they bites the baby. Hallelujah. John told me to tell this story, and I got one that's not about a dog, by the way. We went out to John's house, and y'all, I hate big dogs. I'm scared of them. Everybody knows that. And he had that old police dog crawling around, licking everybody, and that dog ain't gonna hurt nobody. That dog. I said, John, put that dog away. I'm scared of that thing. Oh, that dog's all right. That dog ain't gonna hurt. And we went round and round, and finally I gave up. And somebody, not named, but it was CJ, he's driving down the driveway, brother, and he stuck his pistol out the window for some unknown reason and fired off a round. And my little Tiana was petting that dog right in his face, just petting his dog. It wasn't the dog's fault. It's a dog. He's a beast. That's what he's supposed to do. Amen. The dog went nuts. And my Tiana jumps back, and he didn't attack my baby. But I learned a lesson. There's things that our kids are handling every day that can attack them. It can look so innocent. Maybe it's Aunt May. Maybe it's Aunt. I don't know. I got 10. I can't use a lady because I'll name one of mine. Maybe it's Aunt Judith. Amen. Maybe you send them over to Grandma's and Grandma don't serve God. And she parks them in front of the computer or parks them in front of a television or starts telling them you can cut your hair. Hey! They may look innocent. Well, that's just grandma. It doesn't matter. If they're putting stuff in your kid's head that's going to drive them away from God, you might as well just put them in the bed with a snake because that's going to destroy them in the long run. Hallelujah. Oh, we can't get too familiar with our children tonight. I told you I should have shouted. This is what God gave me. We can't put our children in the line of fire because something looks innocent. We got to look past just what we see on the surface. Amen. We got to look a little further. Look a little deeper. You know, we sit around and we bash the preacher. We get mad. We were talking about a boy today that's so full of the devil. He don't even know what's going on. Amen. I've seen the filth in his car, his music he had. It was awful, brother. Stuff that you never listened to. Awful stuff. And I said, that's a holiness preacher's boy. But you know what? They went to every church in town. And now that boy's on his way to hell because his dad and mom had to explain to him why this preacher was bad. And that preacher was bad. Hey, it may have looked innocent, but you know what it did? It destroyed his soul. Hallelujah. I'm almost done. I told you I'm not going to be long. I feel this in my heart. All of us, me, right here, Nathan, number one, we're all guilty. We put our kids and we let them watch things on the computer. We let them go places and we don't think about, you know, Disney. Everybody, you know, I'm sure everybody in here has seen something on Disney. You know, Disney now has a show that has an open, I don't know if it's a transgender couple or a homosexual couple. It's just part of the show. And the other night, I was telling somebody that, and I said, telling myself here, I said, Natalie, I said, what's that show? And she named it off. And I said, oh, God. I said, Natalie, I said, they're trying to tell you to make it innocent and normal for you, for this lifestyle to be accepted. That's what Disney's doing. I said, they're just trying to make this normal. And I said, that's not normal, honey. I said, that's awful. It's evil. God destroyed a city for that. I said, God hates homosexuality. And I felt guilty that I had let her, that she even knew what that was. I don't know where she saw it, but she knew what it was. She seen it somewhere, brother. And I thought to myself, we let our kids sit in front. I know I'm harping on this same thing, but it's an epidemic in all churches, not just this church. It's all across the world. Amen. It's in just unsaved homes. You know, there is so much filth that's pouring out of quote unquote innocent TV shows of Disney, Donald Duck. Hey, Donald Duck's long gone, brother. Now they got transgenders and homosexuals and kids having relationships underage. Amen. That's what they're pumping through Nickelodeon and Disney. And we, oh my God, we gotta watch what we put in front of our babies. babies. When your baby turns 18 years old and walks up to you and says, Dad, I'm going to date another man if he's a man, or I'm going to date another girl if he's a girl. And you say, honey, that's wrong. That's a sin. That's awful. Well, I've watched it all my life, Dad. It's normal. I've seen it every day on television. I know you always shout with me, but this is what I'm telling you. We got to be careful where we take our children. We take them to fairs, and we take them to concerts, and we let them play organized sports, and you can argue all day whether you think that's wrong or not. I'm not here to argue with you. I don't care what you think, but let me tell you, when they turn 18 and they want to play baseball and they don't care nothing about God, come talk to me then. You may change your mind. You may be like, oh, I messed up. But you know what? It might not be too late for you, but it's too late for them most of the time. I had a friend, I told about it just a little bit this morning. Precious young man. Precious young man. He reminded me of Jordan. Just testifying, just crying, and like, run, whatever, pray with you, carry the stuff out of the car. Just like Jordan, just a good kid. But his dad backslid on God. And that boy, his name was Todd, I'll never forget him, about a little younger than me, just a couple years. And I'll never forget when they called me and said, or I don't even know how I found out. He's from Missouri. He said, yeah, he died. What happened? He was in a car wreck. He was drunk. I said, Todd? Yeah, he was drunk. What happened, Brother Bobby? What bit that little boy? They said the couple days or the day before he died, they had some kind of thing in school, and they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? This boy was just right around 18, I believe, when he passed. And he said, I want to be just like my daddy. What would happen to your son if he wanted to be just like you? What would happen to your daughter if she wanted to be just like you? Hey, I'm talking about be careful what we put in front of our children. Johnny Miller, I'm done. This is the last thing I'm going to say. Johnny Miller got saved. He was a town drunk. I probably told you the story. He got saved. My dad would reach for him, and I'll shorten it up. I'm not going to be long tonight. But that man got saved, brother. And I remember when I barely remember, I was just a boy, and Dad moved him in the basement. An old drunk, just put him in the basement. Well, he told Dad, said, I'm called to preach, Brother Paul. He said, Johnny, you ain't even never give a good testimony. How do you say you're called to preach? I do remember this vaguely. I remember he was sitting right there. And Dad said, testify, Johnny. And he jumped out of that seat, and he landed on both feet pointing that way and went to preaching. I mean, wide open, just like Dad. Well, I guess you are called. Amen. Dad sent him to Bible school. I know where I'm going. Just stick with me. He sent him to Bible school. Paid his way, as far as I know. A couple of people Dad put through Bible school. Put him through Bible school. He got married. Married a wonderful name named Vicki Mosier. Just a wonderful lady. Just the nicest girl. Played the piano, sang for the Lord, loved the Lord. Had a couple children, began to travel and evangelize, brother, and done well. Traveled for years, 10 years or so. He traveled, holiness man, loved the Lord. Well, I remember one day he called Dad and said, I'm taking a church. I'm going somewhere with this. He said, I'm taking a church. He said, now it's not a holiness church. He said, but I think I can win them over. And my dad, being wiser and older, he said, now, Johnny, he said, you better be careful, son. He said, you know, it's going to go one or two ways. They're either going to pull you that way or you're going to pull them that way. And he said, normally they're going to pull you. Oh, no, Pops. No, I called him Pops. I said, Pops, I said, you know me. He said, I ain't going to fall for that. He said, I'm a holiness man. He said, you know me, Pops. He said, Johnny, he said, be careful, son. I know you want a church. You know, he just wanted to have a church. It was innocent. He didn't see anything in taking a worldly church that was going to affect him. He wasn't going to backslide, but he forgot about them two boys. So he took the church, and he called my dad. And my dad, I remember we went down there, and we had a revival for him. And I remember the man in charge of that church, kind of a church boss, just not the greatest person as a boy. I could recognize that, you know, he was bad news, brother. And eventually he began to turn Donnie the other way. And I remember my dad the night before we left. I remember being in the bedroom and hearing Johnny screaming and hollering at my dad and running out of the house. I remember my dad being brokenhearted as he saw the writing on the wall and had begun to warn Johnny, Johnny, this is not working out. These people ain't coming your way. You're going that way. What are you talking about, Brother Nathan? I'm talking about who we put our children around. I told Brother CJ, I told him, I've told all of y'all, if they ever call me to preach in a worldly church, I'll probably go. But you know what? I ain't taking my kids. I'm not going to get on the pulpit and say, brother this and brother that, and I feel the Holy Ghost. And how am I going to explain that? I'm sitting here telling my kids this is how you have to live to go to heaven, and I'm going to take them to some church full of a bunch of people that don't know nothing, don't want nothing to do with holiness, and they all know where the holiness church is. Amen. They all know how to get here. And I'm saying if the door opens, you got to go. I believe that. But I've told Brother CJ, I'm not taking my kids there. I wouldn't even go here and preach. I didn't want to get myself mixed up. Amen. You can tell him I said that. But anyway, Brother Johnny began to pull away, and that was the last time that he ever had my dad. Their relationship was fractured from then on out. And a couple years later, I heard that Johnny and Vicky was having serious problems. They lost that church, brother. And then I heard that there was criminal involvements and actions and threats and violence, and they split up. I know what I'm talking about tonight, people. I lived with this man. I lived in a home with him. And God said, tell him about Johnny. I said, oh, I can't. He said, tell him about Johnny. They need to hear it. Amen. So I'm going to tell you. Well, Johnny got remarried. She got remarried, I think twice on both sides. And they're both on their way to hell as far as I know tonight. But on March 24th, someone sent me a text message. Caleb Miller, 2016. Walking in the middle of the night, Brother Bobby, 24 years old, stepped out in front of a car on the interstate, and a car took him out. Went into eternity. It's too late for Johnny. Hallelujah. I know Johnny. I know how he thinks. I know he's in torment. He's still alive. You know what? He's still got a chance. But that boy's in hell. And you'll never convince me that if he hadn't recognized that the devil was trying to make a play for his soul, and not just him, but his children, and if he'd have stayed out of that worldly church, and he'd have listened to the old preacher, and he wouldn't have got them boys so confused that he was walking around in a drunken stupor and took his own life. I don't know if y'all heard the other night what Caleb said. My God. My God. Oh, my God. We could have had a sad week. We could have had a sad year. My God, Caleb, it ain't too late for you, son. It ain't too late for you, son. You got people here that love you. All I'm trying to say tonight, it's too late now for Caleb Miller. He's in hell. Stepped in front of a car. As far as I know, he was drunk. And he went to church, brother. And they said they were so shocked and so surprised. Well, what happened? He went to a worldly church, but Caleb had felt the genuine. And once you felt the real thing, and you try to cram that fake stuff down their throats. Me and Brother Josh was talking today. He's talking about the outreach. They do have outreach. The Baptist Church has outreach. The Mormon Church has an amazing outreach. The Catholic Church has an outreach. They can preach. They can sing. The oneness people, they can sing as good or better. They have bigger churches. They're awesome. Their preachers are wonderful. So what are we going to do? We're going to tell our kids, you know what? You know, we don't believe this one this way, but you know, they got some good singing. We'll just start going over there. But what about when they tell your kids that if they don't get baptized, that they're not saved? We going to go along with that? What if they tell your kids, oh, you can wear a bikini when you go to the beach. You can still feel the power of God, because they get up there and say they can feel the power of God. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, brother. I'm going to guard my children. I'm going to do a better job of guarding my children. We can't protect them from everything. Y'all can stand. I'm done. Somebody come. Sister Beth, come play something. Sing something. But I wonder tonight,